This morning we're having the Lord's Supper. This will be the first time we've had the Lord's Supper since last March when we closed church for a while. And it's the most different thing because you picked up on the way in a little cup that has a wafer sealed on top. Now, they say that's got wheat in it. It's why I warned the gluten-free people. But in my estimation, that's a piece of styrofoam is what that is. And I think the so-called grape juice is nothing but sugar water. But nonetheless, it's the best we can do at the moment. And after all, seriously, if it was just plain bread and if it was water, if the symbolism is right, it's the meaning of it is what matters today. And what we're about to do to partake of the Lord's Supper has not lost its meaning. And I want to ask you to look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to begin reading in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to read verse 23 and read most of the remainder of that chapter. And this holds for us what I call the message of the Lord's Supper. Now, it might be expressed in a different way, but we just want to let the text do the talking regarding what the Lord's Supper really is. If you summarized it, you could say that the Lord's Supper is the demonstration through symbolism of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm aware that it takes more than a pastor for this to be meaningful. It takes the very presence of the Spirit of God. So bow with me, if you would, in this moment. Precious Father, as we observe out of obedience what your Son gave to us in this supper, may God the Holy Spirit make it so real that there is an authentic experience of true worship in us. And may the reality of what is written on these pages just speak to us in fresh and vivid ways. And may you, in your heart, O Lord, be made grateful for what is in our hearts toward you. And Lord, should there be something in our hearts that's not right, that you approve of, would you please give us the capacity to correct that right now the best we possibly can. And Lord, I know there's some things that we can't fix, but Lord, there hadn't been anything you can't fix. You can cause dead bones to live again. Where nothing exists, you can speak and it can appear. So you, Lord, speak into us today what needs to be created. And speak against and destroy anything in us that shouldn't be there. And may it all be for your glory. That's our intent. In Jesus' name, amen. In the 11th chapter, I want to just kind of read the verses and let them speak to us about the Lord's Supper. And then we're going to partake, okay? Beginning in verse 23. For Paul says, I have received of the Lord, or from the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you. So Paul said, now what I'm telling you, I got this from Jesus. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, I want to point out something as we walk through the text together. Paul said, now, I got this from Jesus, and I want to share it with you. That there was a night that to Jesus was delivered up, and he was betrayed. And on that same night he was betrayed, he took bread. And verse 24 says that he took that bread, and he gave thanks, or when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body. So I'm not going to give you any words on the screen today. If you want to jot down some, I'll tell you what they are. First of all, in verse 24, this is what I refer to as saving sacrifice. Now, what do I mean by saving sacrifice? Jesus says, this is my what? My body. Jesus says, this is blank body. What kind of body? My body. So now let's say that together. This is my body. Let's say it one more time. This is my body. As Jesus broke the bread, he said, this is my body, which he said is being given for you. It is broken for you. If it's broken for you, then the life of Jesus in his body, he gave what was in his body for you. What did he give then for you? He gave a life that he lived. And I've always been amazed in the scriptures, and we certainly honor the blood of Christ as far as honor in our hearts can imagine. But he bore our sins, not in his blood, but in his body on the tree. It was his body that suffered and bled and died. And he was already God, but he came to earth in the form of a human body. That's why we call it God incarnate in flesh. And he fulfilled the perfect law of God in his body of flesh. I've been living in a body of flesh 66 years, and I have never one day perfectly fulfilled the law of God. I've had some type of dirt on me every day I've ever lived, either in thought or word or deed. I've never made a perfect day. But Jesus lived every one of his days perfectly in his body. Not one time was his body associated in any way with violating the law of his Father. So his body is a perfect sacrifice to give. Had his body been an imperfect sacrifice, he could not have given what needed to be given for us to have our sins forgiven. So he's a saving sacrifice. That's what we see today in a moment when we take of the Lord's table, number 2, in verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now notice he said, looking back at your text, this cup is the new what in my blood? Testament. Let's say that word together. Testament. You know another word for testament? Covenant. And so the second word I want you to write down about the Lord's table is that it is a covenant. God, if you recall, and I know you people who are students of the scriptures do know, that God made a covenant with his people after he brought them out of Egypt. It was initiated by way of a sacrifice, the people of Israel, and they botched that up. They were not faithful to that agreement. So now God has made another covenant. And the death of Jesus initiates a better blood sacrifice, and it shows that he, Christ, died, shedding his blood to pay the penalty for our sins, and through trusting in his blood covenant, our penalty, and we know what our penalty is, the wages of sin is death, and the type of death on us was not, are you listening? Was not physical death. You said, oh yeah, preacher, we're going to die physically. Yeah, but that was the unimportant part. The type of death that was on us was eternal. The wages of sin is eternal death. Physical death is merely indicative of the larger death. And if you could live, thank God you can't, but if you could live forever physically and never have the sin of sin's penalty removed, it would be awful to be confined to a body of corruption and you could never die. But Christ took on him our sin, and in his covenant that God gave in giving his Son, the wages of sin being eternal death, and the gift of God being eternal life is made possible because of a covenant. And let me say it again. It's not my covenant toward him. It's not our covenant toward him. It is his covenant toward us. He made the covenant. I didn't have anything to make one with. So that's what we're looking at when we take of the Lord's table, a covenant. There's a third thing, and it's in verse 25. He said, do this in remembrance of whom? Me. Now, this is what I call commemoration. We are commemorating today and observing the Lord's Supper. He talks about here the words, this is my body and this is my blood. These are understood phrases figuratively. There's nothing we're going to take today that is literally the body of Jesus. It's not literally the blood of Jesus, but it is figurative. It is symbolic. It is pointing to that bread does, that perfect life he lived. That colored juice is pointing to the blood that he shed. And we eat this bread and drink this cup as a reminder of the sacrifice that he gave once for all. He gave, as our choir used to sing and will sing again, and Total Praise has sung that as well, he gave his life for mine. And aren't we grateful for that? So it's commemoration. Now there's something else here I want us to note in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, the word here is participation. We are participating, and he made the statement, eat and drink. The command to eat and drink are commands in the plural. That's not just singular, that's to all of us. The instructions are given for believers in local churches who are to obey Jesus with this supper. We forget that celebrating and commemorating the Lord's Supper is not just a nice little symbolism we do. It is one of the commands of our Lord. This do, that's a command. And as often as you do it, he said in verse 26, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. So the participation is eat and drink. And it reminds us, since it's plural, that we are bound both to the Lord Jesus. And since he gave this to us as a group, we are members of his body and members one of another. We are indeed bound to each other. So it's participation. You might call it fellowship. That's part of what to commune means, to fellowship. Well, in verse 26, he uses another phrase. This cup is the New Testament, my blood, this do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's see, that's verse 25. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. That phrase, till he come, we call the key word here expectation. Now, we really believe Jesus is coming back to this earth literally, physically. This same Jesus, as he ascended into heaven, is likewise, the scripture says, going to come again. And when we look at this phrase, till he comes, the celebration around this table says, this Jesus, who lived a perfect life, who died sacrificially, who was buried and rose again and ascended back to the Father, he is one day going to return to this earth. And when he returns, he's going to reward the righteous. He's going to punish the wicked. And all the wrongs that you and I have seen and know of that so bothered us will be set right. You know, there's such times in our lives that we hear of things or maybe experience things, and man, I'm telling you, we want to keep score, and I'd just like for 5 minutes for God to tell me to help him, because I would like to put that person in their place. I read something the other day, just absolutely flew all over me, made me so mad. I thought, that guy better be glad I'm not God for 5 minutes. I would scorch him if I was. Let me tell you what it was. The report read that an 82-year-old man in his room with COVID has been placed in the room with this younger guy, and he's praying at this medical institution. And the guy is upset that he's praying, and he takes an oxygen tank and beats him to death with it, and he dies the next day. You think I didn't want to be God for about 2 seconds and just scorch that guy? Now, folks, let me tell you something. God is going to set right all the wrongs. And God says to you and me, quit keeping score. I've got the score, and I'm going to settle it. And when I settle it, God says, I'll do a better job than you'd ever do. So you let me be God, and you just obey and do what you ought to do. So I call this expectation. Folks, I got some good news for you today. Jesus is coming again. The name that is hated in this hour more than any other name. The name that seems to be the dividing line. You just go into the public square and mention Jesus, and you will get all kinds of looks and comments like you cannot imagine. But that Jesus is coming back to this earth, and he will finally be seated on the throne of his father David. And the Bible lets us know that during that millennial reign, he will rule with a rod of iron. He is in charge, and he's going to be in charge, and there won't be a Supreme Court to appeal to. I have a notion that when we stand before him one day, we will be so humbled as well as humiliated that we will not utter a word. Expectation. One more. In verse 26, he says, now, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth, or you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, that's an interesting word, show. It means that you're going to preach or proclaim it. When you do this, observe the Lord's Supper, you are actually proclaiming verse 26. You are showing the Lord's death until he comes. You're showing the Lord's death. Paul said, now when you observe the Lord's Supper, you are proclaiming the death of the Lord Jesus. You are saying something about his sinless life with the bread. You're saying something about his sacrificial death where he poured out his own blood for us. You are saying something about the fact that he is returning again. And even the unsaved can tell when we observe this that there is something about the Lord Jesus giving his life for us. And the supper is a way for the Christian to say, hey, let me tell you something. I still believe. I am still continuing my relationship with him. So when Brother Wayne takes of the Lord's Supper, if his life is not in keeping, that is my deportment, my behavior, is not in keeping with what the supper declares is to be the life of one that follows him, then that means that I'm hypocritical. And moving on down to verse 28, look at your Bible. But let a man examine himself, and so let him then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Because verse 29, if you eat and drink unworthily, you hadn't examined yourself, you become very flippant. You don't let the meaning of this take hold of you as you should. You are eating and drinking damnation to himself, to yourself, because you are not discerning the Lord's body. Now let me ask you something. I pray that what I'm about to use as an illustration has never happened to anyone in this room, but I wouldn't be surprised. You don't have to raise your hand, but if there's anyone in this room that's ever buried a child, little child, any child, is your child, you buried your child. I don't think there's anyone in the room that thinks if we made fun of that child who died under whatever conditions, those parents would be hurt to the core of their soul if we said something about them that was unkind, made fun of them, expressed. Doesn't matter to me that they died. I don't care that they're gone. I didn't know them. Doesn't mean anything to me. That would hurt those parents to the core of their very being. When I take of this supper and I don't think of the tremendous life he lived, the abuse he took, the love that compelled him to do it, the awesome sacrificial death. He was guilty of nothing and ultimately died for my sin, not his own. Isaiah the prophet said that Almighty God, his Father, laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then I take of this without considering how I'm living, saying I'm a child of God, acting disrespectful to, well, I wouldn't act disrespectful for nothing in this world, Pastor. I wouldn't do that. Yeah, but if you're a professing Christian, does that mean enough to you that he did what this symbolizes, that it would cause you to want to love him more and serve him more faithfully? That's what he's talking about. And he said, now, Wayne, if you take that just flippantly and don't consider how important his life was and his death was and who he is even now in your life that still follows him and confesses him, if you don't consider that, Wayne, when you eat that wafer, you're just eating damnation to yourself. If you don't examine yourself and you drink that, well, you're just drinking damnation to yourself. The Heavenly Father does not want his Son to be mocked any more than anybody that would have buried a child in here would want their dead child to be mocked. It's a serious thing. So this morning we come to take of the Lord's table. Could I bow with you and us bow together and ask God to search our hearts? Father, we're about to partake of this supper. We understand it's symbolic, but the meaning of it should not be symbolic when it gets in our hearts. That ought to be real. As real as we love our husband, as real as we love our life, our wife, as real as we love our children, should be the realness of how we love you. Lord, whatever's in our hearts that ought not be there, would you, Lord, take our hearts, cleanse us not only of what's wrong, cleanse us from the seed of that, that that might be conquered, defeated, and destroyed. And Lord, whatever is not in my heart that should be there, may by grace and mercy the Spirit of God plant that in my soul in this moment. Sanctify this congregation as we partake of this together. And may it honor you above everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, on the top of your little cup is a clear, don't pull the whole thing off, but it's a little clear cellophane. Some of us with bigger thumbs have to work at it. But when you remove it, it exposes the wafer. Can you get yours removed? And when you get it, the Bible says you can hold it up just like this. The Bible says that Jesus took the bread. In fact, we read it right there. And after he had given thanks, that he actually broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now you can take your cup and be very careful that you don't spill it on you and begin to move part of that back. And I want to remind us as we open it that in the Gospels, the Bible says that Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. And you know, it's an amazing thing that he would take the cup and give thanks. I'm the one that finds it easy to take the cup and give thanks. He did this for you and me. But he knew when he was giving thanks that this represented, as he made the statement, he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. The scriptures let us know that the early church sang a hymn. Brother David is going to come and lead us in that hymn at this time. And as he comes to lead us, should there be the need for any of you to approach the altar, you may, and then make your way back to your seat. In just a moment, we will have finished our hymn, and then we, like the early church, will go out. And as we go out, we want to go out people that's committed to the message of what the supper represents, because the message of the supper is the message of the Savior, the Lord Jesus. May God send us out of here today as living epistles, living letters, where people can come to know the Christ by knowing our commitment to Him. You may stand at this time.